and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, and a very good morning to you. Just after 10 o'clock on this beautiful March Saturday morning. We're into March already.
Yes, we
the
are.
The second.
The second day of March.
Yes. Yeah, so
beautiful March day it is.
Yeah, and I missed it. Do you think, I kind of feel like, did it come in like more like a lamb yesterday? You know, if it comes in like a lamb, it goes out like a lion, you know, supposedly.
I thought it was in like a lion.
Lion and out like a lamb.
I think
yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be.
If we'll it's, see. Yeah, I didn't really catch that yesterday. So happy March. Glad you're here. I made the suggestion when I had my nails done yesterday to the manicurist to surprise me. It's spring. And I, you know, I always do pinks and she's got this lime green thing going. So, there you go. They're bright and they catch
they are,
attention.
They are.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very springy. I'm just glad I don't have any weddings or anything big that I need to be at in the next 3 weeks because that could be, ooh, yeah, looks like
lime
I have
green
little.
Fingers? I don't know. My fingernails are just kind of pinkish except for one that I closed in a drawer. It's
oops.
Got
ooh.
Hmm.
Oh,
kind of
ouch.
A black spot.
That's going to leave a mark for a little while. But
yep.
You don't care. You're a guy.
It's growing
okay.
Out. That's right.
Yes. Well, you're hearing the voice of Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Samira Umat is gone this week, and we have Dr. Michael Gilbert here in her stead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Dr. Samira is in Cambridge.
England. Yes.
She's got a daughter graduating from Cambridge University.
Very exciting.
So she went over for the graduation. So she flew out Thursday of this week and will fly back Thursday of next. So she will be here next weekend.
Next week.
So, you know, we'll make do without her for a week.
That's right. So Dr. Gilbert to the rescue with his nice low radio voice.
Thank you.
There you go. And
just last night, I went to the opening day of Dune.
Yes.
And I did that at a dinner theater. I've never done that before. It was kind of fun.
Okay.
And I met a woman, young woman, who introduced herself. And we chatted a little bit. And she said, "You have a fabulous radio voice." And I was thinking instantly about Dr. Mixon's notion of moving to video, and I said, damn, 100%. People always tell me I have a radio voice. No one says, you'd be great on television.
No.
Not a single time, Jerry.
I know. And
so I'm a little worried about this notion of your transition.
Oh, you will be just fine, Dr.
At 76, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to add one more staff member, which will be a makeup artist.
Yeah, that's right.
And a massage therapist. I'm all over that, yes. To do our shoulders in between.
Oh, our shoulders.
Yes, can you add that to
the list? I bet that will happen.
Yes.
No, probably not.
Yes.
But the makeup artist.
The makeup person might.
That would be good. I would be. Oh, that would be fun.
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe I have to send you back to school to learn makeup artist.
That would be fun. I've done radio all my life, so doing the makeup thing might be something new and fun.
That's right. Yeah. So, for first we're going to, now we're doing radio, then we're going to do the live stream, and then we'll be doing the podcast, and then who knows, maybe we'll buy a TV station.
Fantastic.
Oh, there you go. All right. And we could have Dr. Gilbert maybe do our, stay tuned for.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, the reason I kind of tease about the TV station, I had dinner with Colin Cowherd, who I understand is the number one sports podcaster in the country.
Yes.
And so I was down in L.A. on business and we're thinking about using his podcasts and so on for the Relief Factor.
Mm-hmm.
So the radio syndicate took us all out to dinner and let Colin and I get to know each other a bit. And he started off doing a little radio show, and then he started doing podcasts, and now he's the biggest sports podcaster in the country, and he's talking about and his next thing. He actually does want to buy a TV, get a TV show too.
There you go. Get a network going.
And, so I said, okay.
Relief Factor Network.
Yeah, you know, I would love to have a network of longevity clinics across the country, but I have no ambition for a television show.
Okay. No. All right. Well, we'll do the video and the podcasting first. We'll
do the video
where
and the
it
podcast.
Goes.
That's right. That means I can't come to work in the studio with a ponytail anymore.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, I usually come to work with a ponytail, but then brush it out when I get here. So
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now you know my secret.
Well, and I'd do a ponytail if I had enough.
Yes,
hair,
if you did.
But
yeah.
I don't.
Can't.
Yeah. And
can't
Dr.
quite imagine the
guy,
whole thing.
What do they call it with a guy's a mullet?
Oh, the mullets are back from the 80s. Yes, party in the back, business in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we're dreaming.
Some
here.
Things you should just not
repeat.
No,
and,
that's right.
Yeah.
I kinda,
can't unsee things.
Oh, I know you yes. kind of leave that one along with my purple striped bell bottoms from the 1970s.
That's right.
The 70s. So. And Dr. Gilbert, did you ever have a mullet?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Good job.
I had a beard at one time. When I started medical
did a
school.
Mustache for a while.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see you with the stash.
And I had a little beard that basically took my sideburns all the way down around my chin.
Oh,
and
okay.
Kind of a thin. And I wore that in the first year of medical school, trying to look older,
because
young doctors want to look more mature. And now I'd like to look a hell of a lot.
It was my medical school days.
That's right. But my wife hated it. And so to keep peace in the bedroom, I shaved it off. And
it's been gone ever since?
It's been gone ever since.
Okay.
But I went into the school the following day, and girls that I did not even know stopped me in the hall and said, "Why did you shave it off? It looks so sexy."
Oh.
The answer was,
thinking,
why didn't you say that
quite
yesterday?
Right.
Yes. I'm always telling my hubby that. When he lets it grow a couple of days, and he's Italian, so he's got tons of black hair, and 3 days growth is what some guys would wish for a month. And I'm like, oh, keep it. And he's like, no, it itches. And it's gone.
Yeah. I got a French friend who only shaves on Saturdays.
Oh,
wow, really? Yeah.
He lets it grow Sunday through Friday. Oh. And Saturday morning, he gets up and shaves.
That's it. Wow. Once a week. Okay.
Whether you need it or not.
Whether he needs it or not. Okay. Well, we are Leading Edge Medicine and Dr. Gilbert here talking about eyes and all about your eye health. If you have been waiting until Dr. Gilbert is here, he is in the studio live today. And if you have questions about your eye health, maybe you heard your eye doctor tell you something about cataracts or glaucoma or the possibility of RLE.
RLE.
Yes.
Or laser glaucoma treatments.
Ooh.
Yes.
We are going to find out all about that.
Rid of drops. Right.
And, however,
yes.
When we chatted and I invited you on the show, you said you had to leave a little bit early.
That's true.
Oh, okay. So if you have questions.
How long do we have you for?
I have to leave just before 11.
Okay.
So I have the whole hour.
Okay.
There we
go. If you want to talk to Dr. Gilbert.
About eyes.
Don't wait till the second hour of the show because he'll be gone. All right?
That's right. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And we can talk about your eye health.
Before anything else in medicine, especially if you want to learn how to age more gracefully. I hate that phrase, age gracefully.
Yes.
Because aging is the progressive loss of your grace.
Yeah, it kind of goes away.
Yeah, that's right.
I hear.
So if you want to get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier, and substitute that for grace.
Yes. We'll do it.
Then you come talk to me about aging process.
That's right.
And talk to Dr. Gilbert about your eyes.
That's right. Aging things, your age and health, all the things. Boy, last week we had every single type of topic, and it's always fun to throw different things at you, Dr. Mixon. But we are live, 206-421-5757. We have just a few minutes before we take our first break. So, Dr. Mixon, I'm going to ask you if you would give us an update, medical update, anything that we need to be aware of right now.
Actually, the biggest medical update we've got right now is the fact that diseases that were very, very rare in America are starting to be seen again. And that appears to be the fact that the borders of America have been turned over to the drug cartels. And so, you know, when my wife came to America, she had to have documentation that she'd never been arrested. She had to come in. There was a doctor that worked with the Immigration Service. She had to get a physical examination. She had to make sure that all of her shots were up to date. She, you know, they were very, very picky about only letting her in if she were healthy and not going to be a danger to America. But that's not happening with the millions of people streaming across our southern border because there is no physical exam. You know, they are not vetted by us. They're vetted by the drug cartels, and their only vetting is, can you give us money? So reality is we are seeing things like tuberculosis and a few cases of polio and so on that have not been seen in America, hardly ever, except with immigrants. And now it's growing because millions of people are coming in this country with no vet.
And many to Washington State.
Yes. And, you know, as a consequence of that, they would not have come in had they come in legally because they'd have been stopped and their diseases would have been found. But now, you know, they're just waved across the border. They say the magic word, amnesty, and they're told, okay, you know, stop by. If we can contact you in 5 years, you know, then you ought to come by and tell the judge and he'll throw you back out of the country. And, of course, they'll never come back once they're here. And then they say, well, now I've been an American, I've had a baby in America, and you can't possibly kick me out and leave that American citizen parentless. And so, you know, you just come across the border, you get pregnant or get someone else pregnant, and then you're here forever. Seems kind of strange. And, you know, I'm not opposed to immigration. I want immigration. We don't have enough babies in America to replace ourselves. If it weren't for immigration, our population would be shrinking. And so, you know, we need workers. I just want to know who the workers are, and I want to know they don't have a communicable disease. That's all, and right. That they're not a criminal of some sort. If they were robbing and assaulting people in their home country, I don't want them in mine.
No,
you know, because those habits once they get established are pretty hard to break. So, you know, immigrants, pretty please come. But come in through the State Department and get vetted and let us know who you are and let us look at your qualifications and see if you're somebody we actually want in our country or not.
We've That's made right. a total mockery of any sense system.
Yes.
Yes.
That would check the health and...
Yeah.
And we're not against immigration. I mean, your wife, my husband.
Well, Dr. Umat.
Dr. Umat. Hello. Well, we've all done it, but we did it.
We all went through the process.
Legally, yes.
And we all did the things we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, immigration, yes. Illegal immigration,
no.
Yeah, controlled by the drug cartels, no.
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 It's craziness.
Sounds logical to, you know, hello.
Yeah, but logic and politics don't go well
together.
That's
right, yes, does not mix well.
If politicians had to be logical or even honest, there wouldn't be many of them in office.
That's true. So. We're going to take a quick break. You hear the music. We'll be back with Barbara, and we're going to talk about eyes in just a moment. If you have a question, right now is the time to call us on Leading Edge Medicine at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Grapevine.
Yes.
And we were talking about black currants on our last show.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's well, song that's, is very appropriate.
Well, yeah, I guess, except black currants don't
They're not,
grow on grapevines.
They don't?
No, they grow
I always
on
think
a,
of,
a bush that can grow up to 14 feet tall.
Oh, I thought they were very low-lying bush.
Me too. I thought they were more grape-like.
They grow in the low country where there's a lot of water. Okay. They grow along the... in the wild,
okay,
along marshlands and
boggish,
yeah, and ditches that have a lot of water in them.
And I thought they were low bushes, but you're saying very tall.
They start low.
Okay,
and they can actually grow up to 14 feet.
Wow!
Tall.
All right, there we go. Some current news on our currents. Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's take a call. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and Dr. Michael Gilbert on the line from Seattle. Barbara, welcome to the show, Barbara.
Good morning.
Hello,
Barbara.
Thank you for taking my call. I have this question for Dr. Gilbert. About a year ago, I had this, it was kind of a itchy feeling in one of my eyes, like it kind of felt like there was something in it. And I'd been doing gardening. So I went in and I saw my eye doctor and she looked it over. She said, I am 80, so my eyes are getting old. But, and she said, oh, there's nothing. I can't see anything. And it did. And she thought maybe, you know, something was irritating the side or bug bite or something. So anyway, I went home and it kind of off and on would feel the same. It kind of felt like something was in my eye, mm-hmm, and it would get watery kind of. And so a few months went on and it's not bad. I'm fine. But it was the same irritation. So I went in again in a few months. I went in four times last year and the eye doctors always
for the same thing.
Yeah, your eyes are fine. I don't see anything wrong.
Do you ever wake up with it?
Yes. And so
you wake up as you open your eyes on the pillow, you have that discomfort?
It's not discomfort so much as watering in the morning. But I did go to a different ophthalmologist then. I think it's been about 3 months ago. And it was interesting. Well, actually, the last one I went to, she said, you're fine, same as the others. But she said, I'll give you this name and you can check with this person. And it's a reputable, very good professional place. And he of course checked and made sure none of the ducts were closed, and that was fine. It was a fast, very good appointment, but he just looked at my eye and he said, it's your eyelid. He said, you get old, your eyes. And when I look at my eyelids are getting kind of puffy over the, and he said, you need to come in. And what I do, I just put a little slit at the side, and I'm not sure. It was interesting because after all this time, I went in and it was a fast appointment. He just looked at it and told me what it was and why it was watering, and it was, and that totally fit it because it felt like something was in my eye. And he said, we advise that you do both your eyes, you know, and that's why it's watery. It's watery. And so it was such a fast answer that I was kind of.
So I can certainly. So I it's very difficult to diagnose such a problem over the radio. The first thing I would do is there is a particular drop, a dye, that is not used very often but is enormously helpful in such situations because it lights up on cells that are being damaged on the surface. The watering is simply a protective mechanism that is turned on when there's irritation. So in the same way that your eyes tear when you peel an onion or you get sand in your eye, if there are some damaged cells on the surface, whether it's coming from that misshapen eyelid that he found or an eyelash that is growing, you can have a row or a single eyelash growing from the wrong part of the eyelid back into the eye. Or oftentimes, if you're waking up with it, one thing that is not uncommon and will cause that right when you wake up is some people will sleep with one eyelid just slightly open, so a little air gets to a portion of the eyelid. So when you first blink, you're blinking over those irritated cells. But when there are irritated cells on the surface, that message goes back to the brain. The brain says, maybe if we kick out some tears, we can wash whatever it is away. Since it's irritated cells, you're not going to wash it away as that mechanism would help with say, the sand in your eye. But diagnosing what is causing that surface irritation that leads to the protective watering is the challenge. And I'm glad sounds like they may have found it for you.
And so that does make
But that's the kind of thing. that we want to do is find the source of the tearing before we guess that it's the glands or a lash or whatever.
Yeah. So at this point, I could just call and make an appointment and they would, but it was such a fast, I didn't ask questions. I was kind of taken aback that it was such a fast diagnosis without, and they made it sound like a lot of people come in all the time about watery eye and this is what they do. So would you advise me to get a second opinion then, or?
Have they done the repair? Did it work?
No, they didn't. I haven't followed up.
So, you know, one of the things that I get to do is I have a video, a camera on my microscope, and I take pictures of the problem and I show it to patients so that they can actually see what's causing the problem. I think that's more persuasive, and I like to think that when you understand what the problem is, you actually see it, it helps, I think, patients both understand and be motivated to be part of the change that's going to fix it. If I had to guess, it's probably not a misshapen eyelid, that it's more likely something causing damage to the surface cells, like if you wake up with it, sleeping with one eye open just a little bit can exactly have that. And as soon as that eye gets irritated, the body will respond by turning on the faucet. So most likely the diagnosis using a vital dye on the surface cells will light up the area that's causing the that's triggering that watering. But the number one cause of watering is your eyes being dry. People think it's a blocked duct, like the pipe that leads from the eye, but by far more common, excess watering is dryness that has gotten to the point where it triggers the protective tearing mechanism.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm hesitant to just follow through and do something like that. It sounded
so I think you're right. I think a second opinion is a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. But you're over on the east side, right?
I am on the east side.
Well worth the drive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, if you can give me the number. Thank you.
I will do that right before we go to the next break here in just a minute or two. All right. Thank Is that you. Helpful for you, Barbara?
Oh, it was very helpful, and it confirmed that I probably don't need to jump into something I don't understand.
No, I think we ought to understand it, and I'd be glad to take a look. Looking at such problems is one of the things I do most commonly. Trying to understand the ocular surface and reasons for either irritation or tearing.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all that information. And yeah, just need a phone number.
Okay. All right. You're very welcome. And Barbara, here is that phone number, and we'll give that a few times today on the show if you've got your pen and paper ready to reach Dr. Michael Gilbert and his amazing team at Northwest Vision Institute. Here is the number to call. It is 425-450-2020. Yeah, you'll remember that part because that's the eyes. Very clever, Dr. Gilbert. 425-450-2020. All right, we've got another call here. We've got several calls all about the eyes. Let's at least get the question from Lisa in Marysville. Then we'll take a quick break.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. So the question is first related for Dr. Gilbert, and then Dr. Mixon, probably I would want to ask a couple things to do with it too.
Okay.
But I have a growth right underneath my eye. It's not quite at the eyelash level, but it's very close to my
Do you mean eyelid?
Eyelash.
Do you mean it's on your eyelid or it's on the eye?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
on the
eyelid.
Just
You're
underneath
right.
the eyelashes.
Correct. It's on
okay.
my skin, but it's
okay.
real close to my eye. And it's been, I've had it really for a couple years maybe and thinking it's no big deal, but it's been changing sort of recently. So then my doctor did send me to a dermatologist to make sure it's not cancer. The dermatologist, by just looking, thinks it probably is basal cell cancer, maybe
okay.
squamous, definitely not melanoma, but one of the other two that are slow growing. So he's saying we need to do a biopsy and then you know, if it's cancerous, he's a Mohs surgeon, and he does the Mohs surgery, and he can do it. Then I've talked to people who have said, oh, if it's that close to your eye, maybe you should go to an ophthalmologist to remove it. But then they've said, well, the ophthalmologist, I don't know if they can do it if it's cancer. So then, anyway, the Mohs surgeon, though, is saying to me, because I'm concerned that it's so close to my eye. So my first question to you is, do you as an ophthalmologist, you're a surgeon, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Could you remove a cancer, like a basal or squamous cell growth that's super close to my eye? Is that something you do?
So most usually dermatologists won't tackle that if it's close to the eye, and they refer it to an oculoplastics surgeon.
Are you an oculoplastic surgeon?
I am not. I'm primarily a cornea and intraocular surgeon. So I do such removals, but not if we think it's cancer. I would send it to an oculoplastic surgeon.
Okay. I've got a few more questions after the break.
Okay. So, yes, Lisa, you just stay right there, and we will be back in just a couple minutes. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and our special guest doctor in the studio talking about the eyes today, Dr. Michael Gilbert. We'll be right back. Stay there.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
And we're back. Leading Edge Medicine continues on this Saturday morning. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Good morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. And we're talking with Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. And Lisa calling in from Marysville. Lisa, you had a couple more questions for the doctor, right?
Yes. So Dr. Gilbert, you're saying if it actually ends up being cancer, then that's not something you would do.
No.
But he told me if it's benign when it comes back, then he said he wouldn't do it. So he said if it's benign, I only am a Mohs surgeon, I wouldn't remove it, you'd have to go somewhere else. So okay. If it ends up being benign, is that something you could do?
Most likely, yes. I'd have to take a look at it. Depends on how extensive it is, but I remove things like that under the microscope all the time.
And it's again, it's close to the eye, but not touching the eye. It's skin, but you still could do that.
Are you talking about, so is it on the lid margin, say behind the eyelashes? You keep saying it's on the eyelid, but close to the eye.
Right. It's
on the lid margin?
Yes. It's like
okay.
Somebody had told me if you feel the bone, that cheekbone, they said if it's above that cheekbone, it should be something that the ophthalmologist does, not a normal dermatologist. And this is definitely above
common.
The cheekbone.
Yeah.
But when I asked the dermatologist that at the, I said, can you do this close to the eye? And he said, oh yeah, he does that all the time. It's not a problem for
him. If
he
has experience with the eyelid, that's certainly reasonable.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So you don't, okay, I just, you know, he said he can do that. My concern is I've heard with skin cancer, and I've read, even if it's just basal cell or squamous, that once the surgeon starts to go in there and remove it, they don't always know how deep it goes.
True.
Until they start doing it. So this is
so
kind
I think
of
the
a
thing,
question.
Thing to do sounds like a biopsy, and that'll give you direction.
But assuming it, well, that is what we're going to do. But assuming it's cancer, my question was going to be to him and kind of asking you is, if he starts removing the skin cancer and it's going deeper and deeper, and
that's
he's
the
like,
whole
gee,
point of
this is going to get to the eye. The what?
No.
I'm sorry?
Unlikely it could get to the eye.
You don't think it would go so far down? Because that feels like my skin feels so thin above the eyelid there.
Unlikely. Most likely, there would be enough anatomic change that it would that you'd have an idea that it was that deep before you did that that surgery.
What kind of anatomic change could that be possibly that would tell you that clue?
Just anatomical changes in the appearance of the eyelid,
swelling,
okay.
distortion of the tissues, that sort of thing. You know, these squamous cell cancers start on the surface. Okay, they're triggered by ultraviolet radiation primarily in our youth, and so it starts off right in the most superficial cells, and then it spreads laterally sideways first for quite a ways, usually before it goes deep. So as long as it's still up in the dermal layers and you're not seeing puckering or, you know, twisting or swelling or where it's actually distorted, if it still looks smooth and the eyelid itself is, you know, the margin is nice and smooth, it's not puckered or dimpled, you're probably just fine.
Okay. So, yeah, because that's one of the things I was going to ask him and I didn't get to it the last my consult with him was, what would you do if you're in there and now you're going so far down, it's close to the eye, and that's why I thought an ophthalmologist should be
extremely
involved,
unlikely that it's going to be close to the eye.
Okay. So if it ends up if it's not cancerous and he won't remove it, then I have to find someone else. I might then, you're saying it's possible, then you could do it.
Very
if
good.
It's a benign growth.
Sure.
Okay. Then the other part of that question is this, and this is probably more for Dr. Mixon, although you could say what you think on this too, Dr. Gilbert. I had been told and read a little bit that some people on skin cancer, they will put flaxseed oil on the skin cancer itself. This could be anywhere on the body, but that it actually will diminish skin cancer, the flaxseed oil. That's part of it. And the second question is, Dr. Mixon, I believe some point on a radio show you said you had some kind of skin cancer on some part of your body, and you used some sort of thing, which I don't remember what, and it diminished your skin cancer. So what is that thing that you used?
All right. Well, first of all, let me address your flaxseed oil. It's not likely to do the job.
Okay.
Now, there is an eggplant extract called Curaderm. It actually comes out of Australia. It's over the counter here. It is useful for destroying skin cancers, but it takes quite a while. It has to be applied on a daily basis and sometimes even twice a day for several weeks, but it does actually cause those cancers to erode and disappear. There was one that I used on, it was on the left side of my forehead, and it was a very potent immune modulator that you simply applied it lightly to the cancer one time, and it triggered a big inflammatory immune reaction where your body actually made antibodies to destroy the cancer. And it swelled up, and the cancer died, and then it healed in, and I had not even a scar, which was really kind of nice. Unfortunately, that one got taken off the market about a year or 18 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what was that called? Or let's see,
the first word was something with an E, and then Mebutate was the second word, something Mebutate.
But it's not something you could get anywhere now, probably.
It was a prescription drug. As I said, they took it off. They just weren't selling enough of it to make it economically worthwhile. Even when I bought it, it was like $1,000 for one application. But it was nice in that it avoided the surgery. So by the time you go in to get the diagnosis, and then you get the biopsy, and then you get the surgery, then you go back and the stitch is removed, putting it on one time and letting it die and go away was so fast
and
easy. But,
oh, wow. Yeah, so that's something I couldn't look at. And then the other thing you mentioned was something, it was called the, what did you say
it's
it was called?
It's called Curaderm.
Curaderm.
Curaderm, and you can actually find that online. I think Amazon carries it.
But I don't think that's an answer for you.
No, because it's too close to
certainly
the eye.
Certainly doesn't
sound
like it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing. If it's too close to the eye, I was also worried if I started putting something on, what if I got it in my eye?
Precisely.
And could that hurt?
Yes. And that's why I was saying I wouldn't use the Curaderm on you because of where it's at. You know, I actually learned about the Curaderm from patients that had had many skin cancers. I've seen it put on 6, 8, 10 different areas, and all the cancers withered up and died over a period of several weeks. But, again, we were talking about forehead, cheeks, arms, sun-exposed areas.
This isn't good for an eye. And then, the flaxseed oil, that's the other one, is if flaxseed oil, it might not work, but if it can hurt, could it hurt if it got in my eye, flaxseed oil?
No.
Did that hurt my eye?
No, I'm not worried about it in your eye, but I think the likelihood that it helps with your growth is approaches zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might
okay,
make
so
it
then,
might smooth it out, might make it
a prettier
look
cast.
Better, but honestly, I don't think you want to bother with that.
Okay.
Get it fixed.
So the best thing really is go to the Mohs surgeon.
Biopsy,
get it
actually
cancer.
Figure out what it is and deal with it.
And that's what I mean, how to deal with it. If it's cancerous, the Mohs surgeon is the better idea without needing an ophthalmologist.
Mohs sounds
at
good.
This point.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
Biopsy first.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And as somebody
Thank
just
you.
Sent, just somebody that had listened to us before just got the name of that drug. It was Inguinal Mebutate.
But
Inguinal Mebutate is no longer on the market, so it's
and it would be close to my eye to probably be
precisely
safely used.
No. I wouldn't want to mess with it again. I did it on my forehead, but that was a different issue.
Mm. Okay. So. All right. Well, thank you. At least I feel more reassured. I was the most
Good
thing
luck.
I'm worried about is besides the
calling.
Cancer is the part about my eye. So
yep.
thank you so
I do
much.
I understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take care, dear.
Thank you, Lisa. Quick break here and back with more eye questions for Dr. Gilbert. You stay right there. We are going to talk about more eye things, eye surgery, and cataract questions coming up on Leading Edge Medicine. You stay right there.
And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young, forever young, forever young, forever young. May good fortune be with you, may your guiding light be strong.
Should take Dr. Mixon's relief factor sleep like I did and have a good night's sleep.
Right.
We're
sleep,
back.
Sleep factor.
Oh, welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, along with Dr. Michael Gilbert from the Northwest Vision Institute, which is
yes,
where
ma'am.
I've gone. Yes, absolutely. Answering the eye questions. All right. Mary in Puyallup has an eye question for
hi,
you,
Mary.
Dr. Gilbert. Hi, Mary.
In December, I went in to see the doctor because I was complaining about my prescription and that I thought it was new and that I thought it was incorrectly done. But along with that, I had a second symptom come up where I was seeing distortion. And only to find out that what I went in on and what I thought, none of that was seemed to be right. And what I came out with was a diagnosis of CNVM, which is choroidal neovascular
membrane.
Mm-hmm, right. And this was a total shock to me because it indicated that I was going blind in my right eye. And although I had had retinal tears in both eyes previously and had plenty of laser surgery in past years, I had no idea that anything like this was going on. So I was stunned, and everybody, I went to Kaiser Optical in Puyallup, and they immediately sent me up to Federal Way to their optical center up there, and I saw an ophthalmologist specialist who deals directly with this, and it all happened so fast, and everybody explained everything, but I was still under thinking what happened and how did all this happen. And going from one idea into this, that I really missed a lot of the information that was given to me. And so I would like you to please explain to me the nature of this situation, because the past history had been retinal tears, and now I'm into this situation.
So most likely this is totally, totally unrelated to your history of retinal tears.
Right. It's
the symptom,
so
the main symptom of your
I'm not, excuse me. Go ahead.
So I was just saying, your symptom of distortion is very common for wet and dry macular degeneration. And for those who don't recognize choroidal neovascularization, that's just wet macular degeneration. Okay. So, and when you have that wet macular degeneration, it means the blood vessels have started to grow rapidly. And because they are new vascularization, they often leak. And it's that leakage in the center of your vision that causes the distortion. Oftentimes, generally, we can pick up people who are at risk for this, which with age-related changes in the central macula, and that's picked up by a good, careful, dilated annual eye exam. So making sure you're getting checked on an annual basis will make sure that that you're not at risk for that. It turns out that if you have certain aging changes that can be picked up in that eye exam, there are nutritional supplements, including the AREDS formula, A-R-E-D-S formula, and also omega-3 supplements that can statistically decrease the chance of it progressing on to wet or neovascular changes that rapidly decrease your vision. Fortunately, today we do have treatments for those choroidal neovascular membranes, and my guess is you've probably already had an injection to help control.
I have, and I've got one coming up on Monday, and because I was home today and you were on, I wanted to get a better idea of what I'm going in so that I can ask some intelligent questions.
So depending on the presentation, they may be able to give you an idea of how long they think the therapy is going to take. But sometimes these can
be... It seemed like it was indefinite.
Now, that's right.
That was one of my questions to you. Is that the usual prognosis?
The most common is an injection every 4 to 6 weeks for maybe a year, and then they do something that one of the techniques is to treat and extend. So they give you that injection and check you back in 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks and try and stretch out the length of time. It's also true that the newer medications that are being used for this, the anti-VEGF injections that are being used last longer than the earlier ones. So different drugs will have different efficacy on the individual. So they'll be looking for the most effective drug for your particular vascularization and try and stretch out the time between treatments.
So this is something that at this point, it's in a testing situation. He said they were starting me on the least expensive medication at this point, and that they would be stepping it up over time if it was necessary. Is it true then that eventually that this would go to blindness?
No.
No.
First of all,
distort the vision.
Most likely there'll be some distortion in the vision, but
it is limited. Although it has improved, even though I'm going in on Monday, I can now begin to see more of a distortion than I did, say, 2 weeks ago.
Often the improvement with those injections is very rapid and very dramatic. But then you need that injection to be repeated to maintain it. Okay?
All right. So I guess I remember or retain most of what he said. May I go back?
And then you want to ask them the question, do I have findings in the other eye that put me at risk for this in the eye that isn't being treated? Okay.
Apparently not. He made mention that he's not seeing anything in the other eye at this point.
Good.
Good.
So we want to continue to monitor both. Sounds like you're in good hands. But we do this. Those treatments are common. We do them in our clinic all the time.
Mm-hmm. You did it to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to go back. You were talking about nutritional supplements, and I'm.
Those are only effective if you have certain changes.
What was this ERDS you were talking about?
A-R-E-D-S. But that set...
Say it slower, please.
A.
A-R-E-D-S.
Age-related eye disease. Okay. Age-related eye disease.
Okay, we're going to let the doctor finish. So, and give you the information.
Those are available on over-the-counter, Costco, Bartell, mm-hmm. any drugstore you want to go to. Widely available.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
And what was the second one, the omega-3?
Just omega-3, fish oil.
Three. All right, I got it. All right. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Very good.
Good luck to you.
Take care, dear.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh. All right. Yeah, Mary, I was getting a little nervous because we have to take a break right here for Leading Edge Medicine. And Dr. Gilbert, you're going to be taken off.
Do you have another one?
We do have a couple more eye questions. Okay, we're going to stick around for those. Barbara, Jeff, you stay right there. We're going to get to your questions real quick with Dr. Gilbert before he has to take off. And Dr. Jerry Mixon here as well. This is the phone number to get through with your questions, 206-421-5757, 206-421-5757. We'll take a quick break at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back. Stay right there.